bonus episode, answering the DMs, rapid fire interview. Anything can happen today. Now, usually we have really organized notes. Andrew is literally going through my DMs in real time.
Okay.
Because here at the Really Rich Podcast, we like fresh data. Yeah. It's so fresh, people are DMing us right this second, and he's going to read it out. And I have no idea what he's about to ask me. So Mario has asked, Mario, I'm not going to give your last name, no government names. You want to get better at copywriting. What's the best way to improve something? Copywriting. Copywriting is absolutely one of the most valuable skills in the entire world. So yesterday, I'm launching this new product that's going to live in the Really Rich ecosystem. I don't want to talk. It's not done yet. We're basically pre-selling this product. Anyway, long story short, I'm building out the landing page to talk about the product. I'm building out the way that the page looks. And yeah, I build all that stuff out myself, and then we bring in designers because I like to make all the changes when it's just me staying up late making the changes, as opposed to paying someone, you know, $100 an hour to make my changes for me. So anyway, I'm building out this thing, drafting this out, and I'm like, I'm just laughing. I'm like, how many skills am I using right now? It was like graphic design, typesetting, you know, web development, you know, and then most importantly was copywriting, because copywriting is basically, you're transmitting information in a way that makes sense for your user, your target user. And the joy here is when you get it right, it's the most important thing. It's more important than the beautiful website. It's more important than the amazing typesetting on the site. It's more important than your freaking reputation, anything. You can completely transmit a powerful message about your brand or product just by writing it in a certain way. So how did I get started with copywriting? I was always just writing in general. So when people ask, this is a great question, Mario. When people ask, like, how do I get, is there a course? Just start writing a lot. So write a variety of different things. So there's two ways to do this. There's something like holding a book in one hand and typing out the book. So believe it or not, this is something that a lot of people recommend where you're not thinking hard. You're just literally copying down line item for line item. You crack open The Great Gatsby and you write it out. Okay. Sounds like a lot of fun, right? But supposedly after doing this, you're like writing in the voice of one of the greatest, let's face it, the greatest writer of all time. So you're just sitting there, you're writing it out, and all of a sudden you start to pick up on the nuances. I haven't done this, okay? But this is a strategy that I use The Great Gatsby for an example because that's a book that I think a lot of other writers have used and line copied into their typewriter. Now you do it a computer, obviously, or you can do it by hand in a notebook. So that's number one. Oh, and by the way, that is as close to free as you can get because you've got a book lying around somewhere or pull out a GQ or an Esquire and pull out one of the editorial sections, which are brilliantly written, and do that line copy. So that's number one. And you want to log some time doing that. From the people I hear that do that, that's something that takes a little bit of time, but it's really effective. Some people swear by that technique. Number two, and this is what I do, and this is what I have done, is I'm making all day long these little projects, these test projects, right? So I'm always building a landing page. I'm always writing an email. I'm just always doing something. And I'm flexing that copywriting muscle. And again, you know, Mario is saying like, hey, how do I get started? It's like, you don't need to sell anything to somebody to get started. Go, okay, write up your little client brief. You know, Mario, I need you to create me a landing page for this this jump rope, right? Sell me this jump rope, Mario. And then cool, man, go in there. You don't even need to open a web browser. Just open up a Google Doc and sit there and build out, here's the hero line. Here's the subheader. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's bring out the different aspects of the product. And just run these experiments yourself. You don't need to show it to anybody. Do this two or three times and number one, decide if you like what you're doing and the challenges that you're solving. And then you're kind of ready to go and experiment. You're not ready to go charge $100 an hour, but you're ready to start to take on smaller projects, lower risk projects, you know, pull up to Upwork.com and actually go to the marketplace with your skills. Notice how I didn't say take a course? I'm sure there's a great course out there. You know, when I was in college, I took a ton of writing courses. You know what I did in the writing courses, guys? I wrote. And then you'd take the writing, and then you'd have a feedback session with some students who hadn't slept the night before and were probably drunk at the time and didn't want to listen to your writing anyway. I don't know how valuable that was, guys. So why do I like getting to market? What's better feedback than from a real client? Someone who's like, exactly. Hey, you know, this isn't really what I'm looking for. So feedback, asking your mom, your dad for feedback, your little brother's like, I don't want to read this. You're like, come on, I need copywriting feedback, little bro. Fine. Okay. But I'm giving you 2 points for that. Taking this and doing a small, cheap project or doing a free project. Say, hey, I'm going to do this for free. That's 10 points. That's the maximum amount of points you can get because that's real feedback. That's not feedback from, you know, your buddy down the street who's like, I don't know. I would have changed that. It's like, well, who cares, man? This is like, there's no skin in the game for the person giving the feedback. So get out there and sell some copywriting, Mario. You're going to get your feedback. You're going to get your copywriting. You know, run a 2-week marathon copywriting session. You and your bedroom just tapping things out and then bring it to market. Go on Upwork, charge the cheapest price ever. Someone's going to hire you. You know, they're going to say, this guy's really cheap. You know, throw up your portfolio. Your portfolio is all those test projects that you just built and threw them on your computer. Dude, I'd hire you. That sounds like fun, especially if you're cheap as can be. You know, you take the financial question out of it for the business. And then you get to decide if you like being a copywriter and then working with small businesses, which, yeah. You know, no comment on that. Mary, you're going to have to find that one out for yourself.
Jack has a question. So he's in the middle of starting a digital marketing agency, and he's researching specific niches to get into. Do you have any specific niches that he could get into?
Yeah, Jack. You know, you're asking the question inverse, right? What do you know about, Jack? What do you want to talk about, right? So when I built my agency, as an SEO agency for the same wrong reasons that Jack's asking. I said, what's hot? How am I going to make a lot of money? And so I built that business, but what it turns out is we were great at SEO, but what we were really good at wasn't SEO. It was actually this holistic growth hacking thing, okay? You can pull up a book, Hacking Growth by Sean Ellis, if you're like, what the hell is growth hacking? It's this look at every aspect of a business, and you look for the quickest, cheapest, easiest ways to move the needle for the business in percentage terms. So conversion rate optimization, making people click the product more and buy the product more, right? Through copywriting, through colors, through reorganization. That's what I really love to do. But of course, I asked the question that Jack asked, which is the question that, you know, we're all going to ask at some point. I'd say slow it down. Let's not look for what's hot. Let's look for what you're particularly interested in. Okay, so what kind of agency? Man, the only person that can answer that, Jack, is you. Because is it going to be design? Is it going to be copywriting? Is it going to be influencer marketing? Like, is it going to be create a growth hacking agency, man? Go on out there, you know? Ask yourself where you're specifically skilled. Because, again, here's where things get interesting in the power of combinatrix all over again, okay? You guys are sick of hearing about combinatrix. But it's like, okay, Jack, well, are you like, you worked on construction sites for 3 summers in a row and you speak construction lingo and this and that? Well, Jack, maybe you should start a construction business marketing agency. Like, you'll crush it, dude. Or hey, maybe you're pre-med and you've spent a lot of time in shadowing doctors, whatever. It's like, okay, you have a medical product marketing agency. You have a hospital management marketing agency. We want to talk about niches, guys.
Think outside the box.
Woo! Because you can crush it in that, and I can't. You know, unfortunately, you know, I don't know anything about construction or hospital management, but you might. So the answer to that question, I know you just wanted me to say something. Just give it to you on a silver platter. And if I did that, I would be shortchanging the living shit out of you, Jack. Because that won't make you any money. But this definitely will make you some money. So dig a little bit deeper, find out what makes you unique, and best of luck with the agency, dude.
I liked how you said that as well, because I remember a few podcasts back, you were like, oh, you could be the football player, but you're funny, and you could do this as well. Right. Like you said, combinatrix, you put them all together. Like you said, with the whole hospital or construction thing, that's a great idea. I don't want to pronounce your name wrong, but Amrit Pal has a question.
You didn't even pronounce that. Okay, Amrit, you're good. You were good. You did it right.
But he has a question. What do you think, Amrit Pal, what do you think the potential is with AI in the future?
Yeah, it's the most democratizing technology ever to hit, like, our planet Earth, because you don't need a fancy diploma. You don't need to have gone through this educational program. You can crack open your computer now and write a beautiful cold email without ever writing a cold email before. Experience, education, it's like, oh my God, generative AI. I know we're just talking about a small sliver of AI when it comes to copywriting, text generation, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. That's just where I am too with Fast Outreach, but it's like, you don't need to be good at writing cold emails. Oh, cool. Well, you know what that means? You can launch your business even faster. Because Amrit Pal might be like, dude, I don't, like, okay, I have to write cold emails. Well, that's a whole other skill. Not anymore. You know, crack open your favorite AI tool and get to writing. Create some prompts. You know, pull some things from your customer website and create your little perfect mix. And boom, you've got the cold email in seconds. Mm-hmm. You didn't need to hire a copywriter, meaning you didn't need money. I think it just opens up more and more opportunity for young, hungry entrepreneurs. No matter where you are, no matter if you grew up in a freaking penthouse or you grew up in the bad neighborhood, right? Like, it doesn't matter. And that's the beauty of AI for me. Like, the problem with education is it's favoring folks that can afford to pay the ticket. And that's a fucking joke. Mm-hmm. We're moving to an idea economy. So if you have an idea, no matter what school you went to, no matter what side of town you came from, You can build a business, you can make a lot of money, and you can excel at your job. It's fantastic stuff.
He goes on to say, like, how he can start and jump in action and start his own, like, AI-fueled business. Like, what do you think he could do?
So the way that I thought about Fast Outreach was, what am I uniquely capable of? I mean, this is how I just answered Jack's question. And for me, it's, what do we talk about here on the Really Rich Podcast? We talk about starting your own thing, being scrappy. You know, you don't need any money to get started. You can go and make a lot of mistakes. So I would say in AI, choose where you're uniquely interested and go start there, right? So for me, right, my audience is young, budding business owners and hopeful entrepreneurs and existing large entrepreneurs who just like the message and like to follow along on what's happening in the market. Like, there's a lot of people that are interested in experimenting with new technology and learning some new stuff. So it's like Fast Outreach. I was like, great. Well, that's where I'm headed with generative AI, is to help people grow their business through cold email. So that's where I went. Mm-hmm. And it was a natural fit because it's number one, something I believe in, something I use to grow my own businesses. And then it's something that can empower everyone else. So when I said I want to sell you a t-shirt or a hoodie, right? I'm being dead serious about that. Like, that is a very low level thing to, like, you know, help someone out who's listening to this podcast. Whereas building a piece of tech that can help you grow your business really affordably is a pretty cool function. So, you know, for Amrit Pal, like, start to do that introspection. There's more answers in here than you can even believe. Mm-hmm. The answers in here are the ones that I believe are going to make you rich a lot faster. You can come out, you can start to get a feel for the fabric of the land and, okay, where am I? Just even asking about AI, you know that's what's happening in the marketplace. But then you need to say, okay, how can I uniquely dig in and sink my teeth into this business? And, you know, I'd love to know specifically what his skills are, interests are, because mm-hmm. I would tell him to head in that direction. The beauty about AI is it can disrupt basically everything. Yeah. Like, you can apply it to everything. It's not just text. Obviously. So, I mean, the two hottest areas of text and then art generation and, you know, everything in between and everything outside of that, into optimizing freaking engineering processes and ad spend. And I don't know, Amrit Pal, there's a lot of different challenges you could solve. It's really about what you're interested in and what you're uniquely sort of capable of tackling.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Scott goes on and says he has a relatively good paying job, but he doesn't want to do that for the rest of his life. How did you and like when did you decide you would do something else and go forward with that?
I mean, I don't know. I've told this story, like, you know, I knew very early on that I didn't really want to do what I was doing forever. I knew that very early on. It was this body as opposed to mind feeling. The mind was like, you're making a lot of money and you're going to keep making a lot of money. Where the hell are you going to go, right? And then the body was like, ah, your heart, whatever you want to call it. It's just like, oh, I don't know about this. This seems a little... Isn't there something else I could do, for God's sakes? Right. Of course, there's an infinite amount of other things you can do. So Scott's saying, when did I decide? I decided pretty early on. And you know, embarrassing to say, almost in the beginning of my career, but when did I actually pull the trigger? 8 years later, right? So it took a little bit of time to actually muster up the courage and the semi-game plan. Let's face it, it wasn't really much of a game plan that I just needed to get out. I just knew that at some point I was relatively enough of a capable person to figure out another way to make money. And it took a few years, but, you know, it worked out. It was a crazy journey, as I'm trying to share through these podcasts, of this wild ride, how ugly and strange it was. But it's all good, Scott. So it's never too early or too late. What I do like to recommend, though, if we're looking for like a general little really rich policy here, when do you stop? When you stop learning? Because if you're still learning, you probably want to stick around and just soak all that up. And when you stop learning, then you're purely there for a paycheck. And if you're just not loving it, then that might be your time to hop. Okay. So Scott, are you still learning? Have you stopped learning? You know, and that you can make your choice accordingly.
He goes on and asks.
He says he goes on and says, "I've stopped learning. Thank you." damn, Scott, we didn't even release this yet.
Yeah, he's like 10 steps ahead.
Yeah, guy's next level.
He's like, should he be financially secure before he takes the risk? Or
that's a good question, Scott. So yes, and the reason for this is because it's going to take you longer than you think it is to land on your feet in the new career, the new business, the new side hustle. It's going to take longer than you think. So that's the pain point. Build up a little bit of a cushion. If you think it's going to take 3 months, it's going to take six. Okay. But you know what's kind of exciting about that is, dude, that's your game plan now. You go, okay, how long is it going to take for me to save up for 6 months of, you know, rent, food, whatever it is? You have kids, whatever, you know, your expenses, right? And calculate that out. And there you go. Throw it on the calendar when you're going to quit. And then get to work. This, you know, really, you have to get to work today to get planning so you hit the ground running. But yeah, I think it takes at least two times longer than you think it's going to take for anything to happen. You know, you leave your comfort zone. There's just an entire world of learning and trial and error that you need to experience, and it just takes a little bit longer. So calc that out, you know, find out what your monthly expenses are, pour through your credit card statement, get that number, and times that number, the time in time, by two. So, you know, a little bit of a spreadsheet task, but at least then you have a date where you're like, okay, well, in June, you know, Scott's saying goodbye and he's going to go do his own thing. And, you know, you don't have that pressure of this has to work out in 2 months or I'm dead. It's like, don't do that to yourself, because what you're doing there is you're putting, like, you're literally putting an arbitrary timeline on your growth and success. It's like, you can't do that. The world doesn't operate that way. So calc it out, times it by two, honestly, times it by three if you can pull it off. And yeah, then get to work. And then you're not just stressed about, oh, I'm going to run out of money and get kicked out of my apartment. You can just stress about all the other things that you're going to be stressed about: building a business, side hustle, you know, getting a new job, which your plate will be plenty full with that.
Yeah, I got you. Tyrell asked a more personal question towards you. He says he loves the Really Rich series, and he loves the podcast, and he thinks that you're one of the most influential people.
I like this guy. I like this guy already.
And then he asks, I think it's a good thing. Maybe you should consider. Wanted to ask if like you could generate emails and maybe like a subscription type of thing without like just a free thing. You know what I'm saying? Where you like write like advice or content that people could learn from, like an email list, like where you would. You know,
I have a newsletter. Is that what we're talking about?
No, not the new. Okay. It's just like an email where you give like a little like advice, like you send it out maybe once a day to like everybody. Like,
sounds like a lot of work.
It's like, I don't know like how to explain it. He doesn't like really explain it, but I get what he's saying. It's like an email thing where it pops up here. It's like, oh, you should be doing this.
Just like some motivational.
Yeah, a motivational type of thing.
So I hope that this podcast becomes that daily reminder, because we come in here, we do the work, we talk to smart people, we answer the DMs, and then this gets chopped up into these little snippets that I hope do the work of that even better, because it's got video attached to it. The newsletter that I'm writing, it's the weekly newsletter. It's called The Really Rich Journal. It's free. It's doing that, but in a deeper way. It's, in a sense, it's, you get to watch me reflect on my week. So it's not these completely perfect bite-sized, you know, instantly digestible pieces, but it's the way that I know how to think out loud. And you guys are like basically reading my thought process from my week. It's very, very personal. And then in that, there's other little bite-sized components. We do Rich versus Really Rich, where you get to learn about the different mindset components of Rich versus Really Rich. By the way, if you want to check it out, it's reallyrichjournal.com. We've done quite a few of these journals. But yeah, a daily tip thing, I think that's something we can look into about how to build that out, because what we can do, I mean, now I'm literally wood shopping ideas with you on the fly. It's like, what we can do is we can take the podcast, have someone review that, and then pull out the lessons from the podcast and turn it into text. It's doable. Mm-hmm. It's doable. For everything, you know, you start small. Yeah. So a weekly newsletter seemed more digestible. But yeah, I mean, if you want some more sound bites, I have Twitter as well that I'm doing.
Twitter.
Twitter's a nice channel for that too, guys. Twitter handle is just Nicholas Crown, like it is on Instagram. I'd love to do something like that. I just have to figure out how to make it work. Now people are really seeing how I think. Everything that we do, you have to build a system around it. The fact that we're sitting here, there's a system around this. When we walk out, we take the drives, we hand it, you know, they get uploaded, our editor goes in, and it's like a whole conveyor belt. So exactly. Any additional thing that we add, we have to build a business case around it. But yeah, I'm taking it under consideration, certainly. I think it would be great if we could automate a process where we distill. We would need a great editor to be able to do that, to watch the podcast and pull out those different pieces, but... I'm open to it.
I got you. Daniel is wondering if you have any tips on beginning a business and how to deal with clients.
So, Daniel, congratulations on your first business here. Why do you want to build a business that faces clients, Daniel? That's an agency. You have a choice, right? You can build a business where you're interfacing with clients on a daily basis. To me, this is the quickest and fastest way to get lots of money. That's the good news. The bad news is you have to deal with personalities, emotions, that level of connectivity to real people with real problems on a daily basis. So I've done this before, Daniel, and I had to do some soul searching because I was making lots and lots of money and decided that this was totally not the way that I wanted to live my life again. So like mistake number two for me, right? Decide before you build the darn thing. But if you go down the agency route, and look, we had the other day we had on Ned McPherson, right? Ned McPherson makes hundreds of thousands of dollars every month with an agency. Like, he's not sitting here complaining about the agency model. He loves it. He lives and breathes it. The dude is literally plugged in from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. every single day, lives and dies for his clients. So it depends on your personality, okay, if that energizes you or takes a lot out of you. So, but here's my one tip. and you're going to read about it everywhere, and nobody does it right. When you sell whatever it is that you're selling at an agency, build in expectations at the point of sale. So it's like, hey, this is how much we're going to talk. This is how we talk. Okay. Meaning you don't text me on a Sunday, because this is what happens with agency owners, famously. This is the scope and hours of what we're doing. Put it into your product. Don't sell someone and then the first meeting you go, okay, and hey, you can only call me once a week. No. Expectations up front in the contract. Once you create the framework to how you sell your product, and by the way, sell a product, meaning don't sell a completely custom. Every time you sell to someone, it's a custom thing. Sell a product, and you are going to have so many less headaches. You're going to just be a free person. You'll be able to scale. The problem with agency owners, especially if it's your first agency, is you go, I'll do anything. You want SEO? I'll do SEO. Oh, and I'll do this. Oh, and we'll figure out a copywriting scenario. It's like, well, dude, how do you sell a custom product now to another 20 people? And then how do you deliver a custom product? You can't create systems around custom products. You know, then you're an artisan. You know, then we're talking about, you know, that's a different business. Mm-hmm. You know, creating a really, an agency that performs requires productization, systems, and that starts at the initial meeting, the initial sales call, like, or, you know, further down the funnel than the initial sales call. But the idea is like, so this is what the product looks like. This is how much connectivity you have. Or you have no connectivity to me, but I have a product manager, you know, I have an account manager who's going to be on your case, ready to help you from Monday to Friday, whatever it is. Set those expectations, bake it into the product, and bake it into your contracts. And you can thank me for being able to sleep at night when you start to print some money with your agency.
Capison has a question on if you have any advice or insight on how to start an advanced tech startup without a tech degree.
Yeah, you don't need a tech degree to do anything in tech. What you need to do is be able to communicate. So if you can communicate your idea, whether that means in writing, or what I like to do is in diagrams, charts, writing out an algorithm longhand on a notebook. If you can do that, then that means that you can communicate to someone who is hands-on technical, your software engineer, right? Then you can communicate to them in exact terms what it is that you're trying to build. Okay, that person needs to buy into your vision, because chances are you can't afford them. So let's pretend you go in to business together. Now you're the perfect two-hit combo. You're the vision, the product leader, and then you have someone executing on the vision in software. You do not need a degree in software engineering to build software. You need great people, and you need to be a great communicator. If you're not a great communicator and you don't have that software degree, you probably should pick something else to do, because you will not be able to turn your vision into a real-life product if it's not being communicated effectively, verbally, in an illustrative way. The good news is that's a skill that you can build. You don't just go, oh, I don't know how to do it. It's like, well, no, you can learn how to sketch out your product, you know, using different flow charts. You know, you could use Miro for flow charts. You can use Figma. You can put all these pieces together to transmit your idea clearly to your technical partner. And, I mean, we don't need to look too far for examples of this. Like, you know, Steve Jobs was not a software developer. He was a product visionary. You know, things turned out okay for Apple, right? So,
yeah,
it's, yeah, not everyone is that, you know, Bill Gates level developer and leader. So, don't stress, man. Just start shopping your idea around and try to, what it's called is co-founder dating. You know, you're basically going around trying to find the perfect match for your business. And we do it all the time. I do it all the time. You can do it all the time too. It's a lot of fun. And you might just have so much fun, you might create a great product and company out of it.
Gotcha. And final question. I have a question.
Okay.
What do you think the main difference from GPT-4 and GPT-3 is going to be?
So
from GPT-3.
With every model release, there's more data that enters the pipeline. The basically, OpenAI read the internet up until 2021, and then it stopped. So what we're going to do is incorporate more data, and then the model is getting more and more sophisticated because we're getting a machine learning component. People are using ChatGPT and saying, good, bad. The model's getting smarter and smarter. It's learning to read in between the lines. It's becoming iterative. And basically, the combination of more data, more users, more machine learning, good, bad, like human input and interaction with the tool, the thing just gets better and better and better and better and better over time. So anyone who's played with the tool, like ChatGPT or whatever, or even played with my tool, fastoutreach.ai, it's like it just keeps getting better. The more people that use it, the more data that we source and feed into the tool, the better it gets. So every rollout is going to be more exciting. Every rollout is going to feel more and more human. And there will be a point where you'll be talking to a robot and you won't even know it. And you won't care that much. You'll get over it.
You don't think the Terminator is going to come out of here?
Listen, man, I'm not scared. I'm not scared of AI. There's a lot of other things I could see being problematic beyond AI. I think AI is going to make us richer. I think AI is going to make us more capable people. I think AI is going to, you know, it's going to impact some certain areas and certain jobs. Those people are going to upgrade and find new ways to be employed and be happy and creative. And for the entrepreneurs out there, guys, this is the golden age. This is about to be the golden age of making money with limited resources, limited education, no matter where you are. Or if you have a ton of resources and you're highly educated, well, then you're about to go turbo booster on your products and your team. Everything is just going to get better and more scalable. So on that note, another nice episode of Answering Your DMs with producer Andrew. If you haven't yet, guys, like it, click the subscribe button
on
YouTube, and 5 stars. Man, we are obsessed with the 5 stars on Spotify because we're a new podcast. So thanks for listening, and see you next week.